Welcome back. Welcome back, friends. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and I hope that you will consider pledging some money or support to RBN. They are having a pledge drive, and you may help by contributing to that pledge drive. You can call 800-724-2719 or support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website, including business cards and bumper stickers. If you have a product or something that you'd like to sell, a service that you would like to sell, just go to republicbroadcasting.org. Our guest this hour is Professor Kevin McDonald. His websites are kevinmcdonald.net. He is the editor of theoccidentalobserver.net. He wrote a remarkable article recently, which is linked on the radio schedule page. Welcome to the program, Dr. McDonald.
It's great to be here, Deanna.
Well, thank you so much. We've all heard in the news about Trayvon Martin, and we've heard very little about George Zimmerman. And you show at the top of this article two photos, which are very interesting, very different, and certainly, I think, very revealing. And you wrote this article, what date? It was just March 26th. All right, tell us your thoughts about Trayvon Martin and what this whole thing is all about.
Well, the main point of showing these photos was to emphasize how biased the media accounts of this have been. I mean, in the media accounts, you get these photos of Trayvon Martin as this angelic little 14-year-old kid. And you know, I must admit, when I first read this account, I think in the Los Angeles Times, I mean, I was pretty horrified. I mean, they showed this picture of this nice little kid, you know, and it made it sound like Zimmerman was hunting him down, and he was like way over the top and just aggressively pursuing this guy. In the words of a Florida congresswoman, this black congresswoman down there, she's saying that he was hunted down like a dog. Well, that was the impression I got. But then when you start delving into it a little bit, you see that he doesn't look like this anymore at all. He's 17 years old. He's over 6 feet tall. He's got this sort of gold cap teeth that are common among the sort of rap culture. You know, he's not that kind of kid at all. And turns out he's involved in quite possibly in drug dealing. They found a marijuana bag in his backpack. He seems to have been involved in burglary. They found some women's jewelry that was pretty obviously stolen. A screwdriver in his backpack, like a thing that a burglar uses. This is not a nice kid, and they've had all these break-ins there. So anyway, the point of my article was to emphasize the huge gap between reality and what the media coverage was at that time. Now, again, you said, as you mentioned, it was that article was written last week, the 26th. Things have changed since then, I think, to a certain extent. The mainstream media is much more aware that this kid is not an angel. I was reading in the Los Angeles Times today that they have a photo now. Which was at first the videotape of the police when Zimmerman was brought into the police station was used as evidence that Zimmerman was obviously lying, but now they've blown up that photo in the videotape, and he shows a substantial gash on the back of his head. This supports Zimmerman's story that he was attacked by Trayvon Martin, that he was fighting for his life, that he was getting his head bashed against the cement, and he pulled a gun and shot the guy. So, very different account.
Right. All righty. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest this hour, Professor Kevin McDonald. Stay tuned.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. Our guest this hour is Professor Kevin MacDonald. His websites are kevinmacdonald.net and theoccidentalobserver.net. Now, we know that the mainstream press is very selective in what they print and what they publicize. And, you know, I'm also kind of amazed at all of the groups that have gotten together in support of Trayvon Martin. And in your article, you bring up another case where two black teenagers set fire to a white teenager after dousing him with gasoline. And they admitted that they did it because he was a white boy.
It's amazing that somebody sent me this link. It was a small one paragraph comment in the New York Daily News. It was just completely submerged. There was nothing in the media about it, no protests, no, you know, heart-rending speech from Obama or deep concern from Eric Holder, the attorney general. You didn't have marches and all this kind of stuff. The fact is that black-on-white crime is routine, and an awful lot of it, you know, is not, you know, necessarily preceded with such an explicit statement that it's about being white, you know, that they're victimized. But it certainly happens far more, probably 10 to 1. I mean, there's a huge number of rapes of white women by black men, murders, robberies, and the whole thing. So, if people want to talk about the race and crime, they should certainly talk about black victimizing whites. Far more common And yet all we hear now is how, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton will say black people feel endangered now, that they're going to be attacked by whites. This is ludicrous. I mean, white people should feel endangered. In fact, they do. White people, the big story of the last 30, 40, 50 years is whites moving out of areas formerly dominated, that they dominated. Now you have cities like Detroit that have lost their white base. They've also lost the taxpayers. They've lost the social cohesion. And it's become a wasteland, basically. So white people are essentially avoiding black areas. But, of course, that's seen as racist by these people.
Right. And it's, you know, I heard on an RBN program this morning that in 2009, I think there were 38,000 rapes, black on white women, and absolutely no white man raped a black woman. And so, I mean, those are some startling numbers. I'm quite certain they were probably correct. And then we also saw on March 28th, an older couple. They'd been married for, I don't know, 65 years. The man was 90. The woman was 85. She was deaf and blind. They kicked in their door, and this was in Kansas. They kicked in their door. It was a robbery. They brutally beat the elderly couple, and then they raped the woman. I believe there were two blacks involved, and we did not hear this on the news. We didn't hear a thing about it.
It's amazing. There are all these horror stories, and that's a very good one, because you're raping an 85-year-old woman is simply not about sex. It's about power. It's about hatred. It's just a pathology. And that is, it's not mentioned. I mean, you won't find any mention in any mainstream media sources of outside the very local area. It'll be, you know, a couple paragraphs in the local newspaper out there in Kansas or wherever it is, and that'll be it. And there won't be any mention of racial motivation, or even oftentimes the mainstream media suppresses the fact that the perpetrators are black. You know, you can't get this stuff in newspaper accounts quite often. So it's part of the war on white people in this country. I mean, this is just a. The other theme of my article is that this is what the media wants. This is the sort of new religion in America, is this anti-white mantra that the basic problem with America is white people victimizing non-whites. And even though the data are just the opposite, that black people are massively victimizing whites way more than the reverse, this is the mantra that keeps in the media. And it's nonstop, until we get some power. And that's the good thing about radio programs like this. We can get our word out. But, you know, it'd be much better if we had a big cable channel, if we had a publication like the New York Times to pontificate from. But that's the reality. We don't have the power right now.
Sure. And getting back to this couple, the 85-year-old deaf and blind woman died as a result of this these injuries. And they crushed her husband's skull. I mean, this is such brutality.
Right.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
It's way more than just a robbery, right? I mean, this is sheer violence. I mean, it's just mindless, but it's gratuitous. It's not really necessary for the crime. If you're just going to steal something, go ahead and steal it. But these people are obviously motivated by hatred.
Right. Now, when did all of this happen? Did the civil rights movement have anything to do with all of this?
Well, I think what we've seen is, you know, ever since the 1960s, I think the 1960s are a watershed era in American history. This is a time when you had the civil rights movement. This is a time when you had the countercultural movement. This is a time when at universities, you've had the establishment of all these ethnic studies departments. You had sort of radical feminism going on at that time. And all those things had simply become more and more powerful over time. I mean, it's one thing to talk about voting rights and so on and prevent, to prevent lynchings or something of black people. But what we've gone now is a total frontal assault on our entire culture. So this is not ending. This is just beginning. And one of the themes of my writing in recent times has been to emphasize what the future is going to be like. Even the Trayvon Martin case is a very mild version. I think what would happen when people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, really have power. Even the Obama administration is constrained by the present legal system and so on. They can't really do entirely, I think, what they would like to do. And so in the future, though, as soon as whites become a minority, when we start to have less and less political power, I think you're going to see victimization of whites on a scale that you just really can't imagine now. And they're not, the perpetrators are going to go unpunished. It's going to be blatantly, very explicitly anti-white. And it's just simply not going to be prosecuted at all, much less prosecuted as a hate crime.
Well, and that's very interesting that these people have claimed to be victims. And certainly slavery was a terrible thing, but they're carrying this victimology to the point where they have affirmative action, and they are actually get preferential treatment, whereas we seem to be disappearing, as you say. Who do you think is behind all this multiculturalism? And because it is part of the multicultural agenda, correct?
It certainly is. As you say, affirmative action, all these policies. In my writing, I've emphasized that we now have a sort of new elite at the top of our society, and it is very substantially a Jewish elite. And so in my books, I've tried to trace the history of Jewish power in America. And one thing that Jewish groups have always done, are continuing to do, is to make alliances with non-white groups. That is, anybody that's sort of on their side. So certainly that includes white liberals, but beginning a century ago, you started to see the alliance between Jewish groups and black groups, Jewish funding for black causes. Nowadays, Jewish groups have made strong alliances with Mexican groups, La Raza, and so on. And they have also made alliances with other immigrant groups. So what they are doing is essentially making a non-white alliance. And what we're seeing now in American politics, I think, is more and more a reflection of a racialization of American politics. More and more white people are voting Republican. When I was a child, the Republican Party was basically the party of sort of people in the country clubs, wealthy people, and so on. But nowadays, it's becoming the party of the white working class, and with this veneer of wealthy white people like Mitt Romney and so on. So it's become really a white party. 90% of the votes of the Republican Party, or over 90%, come from white people. If you look at the Democratic Party, it's the opposite. These non-white minorities are voting 80% for the Democratic Party. And, a lot of people think that these racial trends are going to exacerbate even in this next election. So Obama could be reelected as president with only, say, 35% of the white vote, which is amazing. And you think about 35% as a landslide of white people voting Republican. But now even that landslide would not necessarily be able to prevent Barack Obama from becoming the president of the United States.
Right. And of course, you've also had the Republican influence in such things as NAFTA and some of the other trade agreements, which has allowed, and of course, the immigration laws, which have allowed peoples from third world countries to come in. And then, of course, when they get here, the Democrat Party seems to be the party of compassion. Like communism has always appealed to the poor. They are using the same kinds of tactics to appeal to the poor as if they are actually going to help them.
That's actually absolutely right. So there's this mantra that the Republicans should reach out for Latinos and all that. But the reality is Latinos, first of all, want more and more of their people up here. But secondly, they also want big government. They want huge benefits. They want welfare programs. They want all these benefits for free education and so on. So, in other words, these groups are not going to ever vote for sort of conservative, small government, individual liberty kinds of parties. It's simply not in their interest. And so the Democratic Party is going to be the party of big government and minority interests far into the future.
All righty. We're going to go to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today.
aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Our guest this hour is Professor Kevin MacDonald. His websites are kevinmacdonald.net and theoccidentalobserver.net. He is the author of numerous papers and books. It's a very impressive list. I particularly like The Culture of Critique and some of your other writings, which I have. You've edited also 3 books. You have quite a resume here.
I'm a busy guy. What can I say?
Now, we're talking about multiculturalism, and you talked about the funding of other black groups, which includes the NAACP, which did not have a black leader until fairly recently, I think when 1979, but they started in 1909. And I think that's kind of significant when they had the Jewish people actually started that organization and funded it and led it and controlled it. Do you see that as being very significant in the way that the things have gone for the black population in this country?
I certainly do. I think that that's symptomatic, the fact that Jews have reached out to blacks as an alliance and They fundamentally, that mainstream Jewish community has seen white America as a sort of enemy. They've seen a homogeneous white America as threatening Jewish interests. When they think of a homogeneous white America, they think of Nazis, stormtroopers, anti-Semitism, and so on. despite the fact that America has been the best country for Jews ever, really. There's never been any serious anti-Semitism. There's some anti-Jewish attitudes, which were, in my opinion, understandable, considering that Jews are a very aggressive, assertive group that have essentially championed policies that are not in the interests of white Americans. But, yeah, they've made these alliances, beginning with blacks about 100 years ago. The NAACP was, as you say, founded by Jews, Springarn, I believe the name. And really, there weren't any Jewish lawyers of any note for decades in that organization. And it only became a black leader in the 1970s, I think you're right. this is symptomatic, it's symptomatic of Jewish strategizing. But it's also, I think, symptomatic of the fact that blacks without Jewish help would not be anywhere near as powerful as they are now. And Jews have always advocated integration as a model for black America. They should be able to integrate into the white mainstream. So you want to break up white-only neighborhoods or white-only clubs, that kind of thing, as opposed to a black nationalist strategy where blacks would be sort of separate, which some blacks have advocated, like Farrakhan. And it's probably no accident that Farrakhan is anti-Jewish. So anyway, that it's definitely symptomatic of Jewish strategizing in America to make alliances with non-white minorities, to see white people as the enemy, and to be afraid of white power, and to especially Christianity, frankly.
Now, do you see the Jewish population sitting back and kind of watching as this black against white kind of erupts?
I do think that Jews are certainly observers of black America, and they have been champions, really, of black America. So we all are aware that there's a big Jewish involvement in the media. Well, it was no accident that the media presentations of this event, especially in the more liberal media, have pursued this idea that it was all about whites victimizing blacks, completely irrational, just hatred, and so on. In fact, they've now found this audio tape that was doctored by NBC to make it sound like Zimmerman was racially motivated, that he attacked him because he was black, that he knew he was black, and all that. Turned out it was that Zimmerman was simply responding to a question that the 9/11 operator had posed. So there's been a lot of falsification going on here, which is consistent with the sort of liberal message that's come out of the Jewish-controlled media. I mean, famously, Hollywood has adopted liberal attitudes, especially since the 1960s. Prior to the 1960s, the old America, even though there was a huge Jewish ownership of the media, there were all these watchdogs of the media, and they had to screen movies to get them approved for viewing and so on. So there were strong controls by the sort of traditional American patriotic and religious groups. But after 1960s, those melted away, and so Hollywood has been a bastion of the left, the sort of countercultural America. Repeated images, anti-Christian images, repeated images, anti-white, hostility towards whites. So that's the problem, that the media is fundamentally opposed to white interests. They take the typical view that's very common among Jews, that whites are the problem, whites are the enemy. We have to, make whites as powerless as possible. And part of that means making whites a demographic minority.
Wow. All righty. We do have to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Our guest this hour is Professor Kevin MacDonald. He has two websites, kevinmacdonald.net and theoccidentalobserver.net. And I think if the blacks and the whites in this country could ever actually communicate on a rational basis and were able to really see who is behind, who is influencing all of this antagonism, that they might actually be onto something and be able to do something about the real problem.
I think that black and white working class do have economic interests, but what you see is, and certainly blacks do not benefit from immigration. One of the biggest failures of black leadership has been to oppose immigration. Well, what has immigration done? It's completely destroyed the labor market working class people. Whites have responded by becoming Republican, which is, as you were mentioning before, the Republicans have also been behind, you know, NAFTA and all these free trade agreements and so on. They have not been really focused on the interests of a huge percentage of their constituency. So we have a really pathological situation in this country where it is becoming more and more racialized. And I don't think that's really a good thing. But the result is that certainly the white working class is not having its interests really advanced by the Republican Party. And the blacks are just inundated by all these other groups. They are always pretty much inevitably, I think, going to be on the bottom socioeconomically. And so when you bring in all these other groups, they're now competing with Latinos. They're being driven out of a lot of areas. There's a lot of crime and ethnic cleansing in areas of Los Angeles, huge fights in high schools and so on. So this has not helped Black America at all.
No.
And yet they still seem to be dedicated to this multicultural stuff.
Right. All righty, we do have some callers lining up. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Byron in Canada. Byron, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hey, I tuned in kind of late. This is about 10 or 15 minutes ago. I think I got the drift of your program. I think Professor McDonald, I think he's complaining about immigration and maybe illegal immigration, I suppose. You know, it's kind of curious. A lot of this immigration that's coming in the United States, how much does it have to do with we going over to their countries, destroying their countries, and because of the strife and the damage to their economic base, and I'm kind of thinking, I guess, well, the Central America, South America's had United States interference, but particularly in the last 10 years in the Middle East. How much do you think immigration would be reduced if the United States wasn't in all these other countries, bombing them, destroying their economy, getting, one group of people fighting against another people? How much do you think that would reduce this immigration problem that you're talking about?
I would say about zero, because in my opinion, the problems that the rest of the world has is not because of the United States and the West. You look at Africa. Africa simply has not been able to get itself off its feet, no matter how much Western aid. If you look at the Middle East, countries they've had huge problems in the Middle East. I would agree with that. And a lot of that is because of Israel and the fact that Israel's has gotten the United States to do things like bomb Iraq. But if you look at those countries historically, they've never been very successful. And it's because they fundamentally don't have social forms that facilitate that. I mean, they're basically tribal societies. You look at Afghanistan. Afghanistan, when the United States finally leaves Afghanistan after, this disaster that's going on over there, it will simply revert to its tribal self. And you're not going to have capitalism. You're not going to have individual rights. You're not going to have a vibrant economy based on individual initiative and that kind of thing. Is simply not going to happen. And so you can't blame the West for the problems of every other country. They've had huge amounts of time to get themselves together.
And yeah, Mr. McDonald, from what you just said, is a bunch of BS.
Byron, I mean, that's his opinion, and you did ask
that's his opinion. But let's look at the facts on the ground. Let's look at Iraq. Iraq was a country that was very developed, was going to be classified as a first world nation economically in 1990. Let's look at Libya. Sure, it might not be quite the freedoms that we have over here, but then I'll argue with you that we don't have that much freedoms over here anyway anymore. Libya, according to some organizations from Europe, their standard of living was as high as the United States' was. How do you think it is now after what United States, and let's not cut the crap and try to beat around the bush. The United States is the one that went in there and absolutely destroyed Libya.
Are you saying that prior to this recent thing, just a few months ago, that you had this vibrant economy in Libya? Please, it's ridiculous.
I'm saying, considering that Libya is 95% desert, that they had a very limited economy, but it was very well managed. And the government, the resources was pretty evenly distributed, that their standard of living was about, according to this study in Europe, was about the same as the United States or a bit higher.
Look, I completely agree that the United States shouldn't have gone in there. I completely agree. But to say that they had this vibrant economy, all they had was oil. And you had a tribal society that could never become, anything like a sort of, Western model democracy with individual freedom and a vibrant economy. It simply was not going to happen. They had a bunch of oil, and they had a tribal society. Gaddafi managed it fairly well, I thought.
Yeah, the oil that they've got compared to what United States has got is so minuscule. It's not even funny.
So what about Egypt? What about all these other countries in Africa? Are you going to blame
Egypt
the West for all
country.
Of this?
It's a heavily populated country that doesn't have a whole lot of resources compared to some of the other countries. But the fact of the matter is, Europe, I mean, you take about the Europeans had stuck their nose, whether it's in the Middle East. Tell me in the Middle East when the Europeans hasn't had their nose stuck in there. Tell me.
You simply can't blame the lack of development of every other country in the world on what the West has done. I would urge you to read Ricardo Duchesne's The Uniqueness of Western Civilization. He talks about the history of this. It's a long history. And it's simply not the case that Africa. You're gonna blame the lack of development in the Congo and Zimbabwe. What's happening in Zimbabwe after white people left? You had massive inflation, just total degradation of the economy. Everybody's poor. You're going back to
the
same thing's going to happen in South Africa.
The European countries going in there, and they'll install a person that's going to cater to what they say that will absolutely rape the country of the resources.
You're saying Zimbabwe is run by Europeans? It's ridiculous.
I'm saying that black leaders are put in these countries by European
A long time ago, that's the case. Now they are independent, and they can do what they want, and what they have is civil war and destruction, no economic development.
Why don't you tell me, who's arming these different groups over there in Africa? Who's arming them?
Where's
the guns and all the munitions are coming from?
Obviously, they come from the West, probably, or Israel, or other countries. So what? Or China? Any other country is going to be able to... What's the difference? Why has China been so successful? The West was all over that in the 19th century.
Let me tell you why China is not a democracy.
Gentlemen, this is not going to end well. You're not going to agree. Thank you so much, Byron.
It's the kind of anti-Western stuff that I hear all the time. And it's just self-hatred. This is why the West is going to be destroyed with people like this.
All righty. Let's take George in Wisconsin. George, welcome to the program.
All right. Listeners, get your pencil out. I have something very short. It's from the Congressional Record of 1957, and it's page 8,559. And this is called a racial program for the 20th century. It was called out in 1912 by communist Israel Cohen. A short paragraph. We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory while inflaming the Negro minority against the whites. We will endeavor to install in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause, the Communist Party. I rest my case, girl.
Wow. Where was that from, George?
Hey, I'm putting that in my April newsletter. I broadcast it many times on the Internet. I had this for quite a few years. Maybe I got it from one of Jack McLam's things in the past.
George, what was the source of that?
Okay, this is the Congressional Record, 1957, and it's on page 8,559. So maybe some people can make copies of it just like I did. And get it out to people that just don't want to believe things and think everything's going to be really cool. And it ain't. There's destructive powers behind this man. And there it is, old commie Israel Cohen. He whipped it us on it way back in 1912. That's when my people from Czechoslovakia came here, 1912.
It's interesting that you can see the sort of implicit strategizing that conforms to that, but to see it explicitly stated like that is really remarkable, I must say. Thank you.
Especially with the sports figures, the high salaries that they accrue, and when you look at the ownership of some of the teams, I'm not a sports fan, But I do recognize that the Jews own most of the teams and certainly can promote or hire the people, not necessarily with the most talent, but they do seem to gravitate towards the blacks, especially in basketball.
I do think that sports has been one of the big avenues in entertainment. As it's amazing that Cohen was saying this in 1957, because that was just beginning in 57. Baseball had been integrated. Jackie Robinson was there, but it wasn't at the level it is anywhere approaching where it is now.
Yeah, it is. Yes. In fact, if you think back to when the first black baseball player, I mean, he was kind of ostracized and had a very, very difficult time. Like I say, I'm not a sports fan, so I'm, you know, I don't. But didn't they actually have their own teams that they couldn't actually play with the white teams?
Yeah, that's right. And up until, I think through the 1940s, where Jackie Robinson got on the Dodgers like 1948, and then then there was a gradual process of integration, and over time the black baseball teams just folded up because they couldn't make a go of it once the blacks started going to the major leagues.
Right. Getting back to what Byron was saying, I think that that when you talk about Belgium, when you talk about England and their activities in colonizing other countries and in basically raping them of their resources, I think that he did have a point there.
We certainly had a point that colonialism existed and that it did involve some transfer, you know, some raping, as you say. But that's not doesn't explain, you know, the doesn't explain differences in national accomplishment now. And that's why I was mentioning China. I mean, in the 19th century, you had Western involvement in China, the Boxer Rebellion and all that stuff. China's been able to overcome that. And essentially it's because of IQ. The same with Japan. Japan was not a Western society, but they have you know, talented group of people. Now, when you go to Africa, you're talking about a very low IQ society. These societies, I don't think, are ever going to be really able to bring themselves up. You're not going to have the development of a highly educated, technologically oriented, sophisticated, groups of people in Africa. They're not going to be able to bring themselves up. You talked about Libya. Well, they had oil. Again, Libya, if you look at the average IQ in Libya, it's probably about 90. And it's a tribally based society. They really don't have any economy apart from the oil. So I would agree the West, the United States should not have gone in there and did what they did. But that's not responsible for Libya's problems. Iraq's another example where the United States should not have been involved, but it was because of the Israel lobby. Everybody knows that now. The Israel lobby wanted the United States to go in there because they saw Saddam Hussein as an enemy of Israel. So I agree. Iraq's been raped because of this. And they want to do the same thing now to Iran, frankly. But we will we'll see what happens with that. But you simply cannot blame the West for the problems of everybody else. I mean, it's ludicrous. Africa is Africa. It will remain Africa. These countries are not been able to move themselves up unless they have some big natural resource like oil or something like that they can simply sell to the West.
Right. George, if you're still listening, could you email me? I would like to talk to you about that record. I think that was very interesting, that, you know, in 1957.
I would like to see the quote and the reference, too.
Yeah, I think that that is very significant, and you can tell that they plan. They sit around in their boardrooms, and they kind of plan things out where the rest of society is pretty much just trying to put food on the table, have a roof over their heads, and they're not planning. They're not predatory.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Let's get back to your article here. And you were talking about the media. And the media definitely is very, very selective in what they choose to print. And you talk about the new religion, and you see this religion as something that is based on multicultural dogma.
Right. Well, I talk about this new anti-white religion is fundamentally opposed to the interests of whites, and whites are the evil. And so when there's an incident like this, they parade this evil George Zimmerman attacking for no reason at all, this innocent young little kid, Trayvon Martin, who was just walking around going to see his father and buying Skittles at the store. It's just a horrible distorted picture, but it's part of this mantra that white people are the evil. They're the ones responsible for all the evils in the world. Like your other caller from Canada, white people are the, whatever there's a problem, white people cause it somewhere along the line.
Wow. All righty, we're going to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Dr. McDonald. Be right back.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. We do have a reference that was said by Israel Cohen. It's a racial program for the 20th century. It was issued in 1912. It is also in the Congressional Record, Volume 103, page 8559, dated June 7th, 1957. I will email that to you, Dr. McDonald. And Just a question. Do you see the U.S. population as being dupes for Israel in doing their dirty work and getting the blame for perpetrating all of this warfare? And how long do you think that's been going on?
Well, yeah, there's no question that the Israel lobby is very powerful. This has become pretty much of a mainstream idea. If you look at John Mearsheimer and Stephen Wall's book called The Israel Lobby, there's no question that the main force behind the war in Iraq was the Israel lobby, concerned about the fact that Saddam Hussein was seen as an enemy of Israel. I would say that the first one was the first invasion of Iraq in the 1990s. Certainly the second war in Iraq, the big drumbeat for the war against Iran is totally motivated by the Israel lobby. Israel, in this case, is being very explicit. And there's now word that Israel has a very close alliance with Azerbaijan. They have airfields there. They may well... They've threatened to do a military strike, but they would love for the United States to do it. And it's quite clear when Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, came to the United States, that he was advocating that the United States do something right now about this. Now, the Obama administration is dragging its heels. They certainly don't want to do this before the election. But I'll guarantee you, after the election, there's going to be something happening. And it could be that Israel might do it before the election. But I think if they did, they would be doing it over the objections of the United States. They don't want this to happen before the election. The economy is in a very fragile state and so on. But after the election, all bets are off. I think we definitely may see something at that time.
Sure. But inasmuch as the U.S. has been doing all this dirty work for a very, very long time, wouldn't it be reasonable to suggest that a lot of countries hate the United States because that is the face that they see with the Jews standing behind the curtain promoting all of this?
Yeah, I do think that. I think that it's very common now for the United States to be seen as sort of controlled by the Israel and the Israel lobby. And you've got to be aware of this. If you are a diplomat in a foreign country, but even people on the street, they understand what's going on now. You simply can't understand the American policy in the Middle East, apart from realizing that there's huge amounts of money being funneled into the American political process. Right now, we have this charade among the Republican candidates sort of competing to say which one will bomb Iran first if they become president. Newt Gingrich got like $20 million from Sheldon Adelson. Mitt Romney's got huge support from Jewish donors. The only exception, of course, is Ron Paul, who is very much opposed to the Israel lobby. And, of course, he's not going to win the Republican nomination either.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for being on the program. We've run out of time. Thank you so
very
much.
Thank you.
Great. I hope to have you back.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners.
Bye.
Talk to you tomorrow.